Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman joins to update us on the update of the FAA and Boca Chica, Texas SpaceX. When last we left our heroes, they were grounded. But, Bob, a very good evening to you. Grounded, ungrounded. This thing maybe becomes like a flip of a coin. Can you help us understand what the original...
Yeah, I must clarify. This is not Boca Chica, though Boca Chica is part of this story. But this having to do grounding, ungrounding has to do with SpaceX and its general normal launches out of Cape Canaveral, Kennedy, and Vandenberg. Last week, they had a launch which went fine, getting satellites into orbit. The first stage worked fine and doing its job. It landed fine, it appeared, softly, but then it fell over on the drone ship. Apparently, one of the legs either buckled or failed or didn't deploy properly. It was on the other side of the video. We couldn't see it, so we don't know exactly what happened. I'm sure SpaceX knows. But at that moment, suddenly the FAA announced that it's grounding SpaceX and it's not letting it launch until an investigation, and that's in quotes, was completed by the FAA. Well, SpaceX made it pretty clear within 24 hours that they were ready to launch again, because there's no reason to stop launches if the first stage happened to fail at landing. I mean, they crash first stages for decades. You don't worry about what happens to the first stage if your launch is fine. No public danger was involved. No damaged property was involved that mattered. FAA really had no authority even to shut SpaceX down. But it did. But SpaceX then said, look, you have a policy where if there's no public damage or injury, you allow launches to proceed as normal while the investigation is ongoing. And so please let us launch. And SpaceX scheduled launches for the next night. And then the next night, while it waited for the FAA to get off its duff and unground them. And so finally... after 2 days, the FAA announced, yes, we're going to allow you to launch. Well, I have to make a point here that it's gotten to a point now where the federal bureaucracy kind of thinks it has the right to tell everyone what to do in every situation, and we Americans have to obtain our permission from them. And the FAA really doesn't have that authority. It really doesn't. It's not supposed to be doing this. But as they did say, we're going to let you launch. Oh, how kind of them. So SpaceX responded instantly that very night, just mere hours after the FAA cleared them to resume launches. The company demonstrated most emphatically that it had been ready to launch and was not worried about that first stage falling over, and launched twice in little more than an hour from opposite coasts. First, they sent up 20 Starlink satellites from Cape Canaveral, and then an hour and 5 minutes later, they launched 21 more Starlink satellites from Vandenberg in California. And, you know, once again, this is a case where the government was interfering for no reason, and they shouldn't have been interfering. There's no reason for the FAA should surely pay attention to what the company's doing and get information, but its first default position should not be to stop Americans from following what they wish to do. And that's what happened. So anyway, that's where we stand with SpaceX and the FAA right now. Now, getting back to Boca Chica just quickly, the FAA is still sitting on the launch license for the next Starship Super Heavy launch. SpaceX has said it was ready to launch now almost a month ago, and they're sitting, and nothing is happening. And it does appear that the delay has forced SpaceX to definitely go possibly with an attempt to land the Super Heavy at the Chopstick Tower, because they're doing upgrades on that right now.
That means SpaceX will not use the chopsticks on the next launch, whenever it is?
No, it appears that they might very well. It appeared that they were ready to do a launch without using the chopsticks in August. But because the FAA is sitting on its hands and SpaceX can't do anything, they don't believe in sitting around themselves on their hands. So they're immediately doing upgrades to the chopsticks right now on the tower, which suggests they might be willing to attempt switch over and actually do an attempt at landing. We'll have to wait and see how it goes, but right now SpaceX has been sitting for a month without FAA approval.
The name of the judge in Brazil is Maurice. He's very powerful. He's on the Supreme Court. And as I understand it, he's banned Starlink XX in all of Brazil. How does it work, Bob?
I have a post up on Behind the Black about last week he froze all Starlink bank accounts. He froze them. Now, Starlink is still available in Brazil, but Musk pointed out immediately that he's not going to block usage because it's used for in many hospitals and remote schools, and he doesn't want to do that. So he's going to allow people to use it free of charge. Even though the bank, they can't collect money, their bank accounts are frozen by this thug judge. But he also followed up later, the judge, by banning X in Brazil. And there's indications that a lot of people are already beginning to work around it. But he threatened to fine people $5,000, something like, if they were caught using X, which is many times the annual salary of some Brazilians. It's really a thuggish behavior on his part. And it all comes down to the simple fact that Elon Musk won't censor people on X. He's willing to allow people the freedom to speak. And Piers de Mars doesn't like the fact that opposition people to the present government, which Morris is part of, are allowed to kind of criticize the government there, and he's trying to silence them. That's basically what this is. It's censorship, it's tyranny, and I give Musk credit for fighting this at this moment.
He's taking on a very powerful state actor, so we will continue the story to be continued. Now we go to the drama, ongoing, Starliner, still attached safely, as I understand, to ISS. What's the prospect, Bob?
Right now, the NASA has pretty much announced all the specific plans. Starliner will return unmanned on September 6th. It will fly autonomously to land at White Sands as planned. The landing autonomously shouldn't be, they were very proud about how it could do this, but it shouldn't be a big deal since SpaceX capsules do this routinely now, as well as its rockets. At the same time, NASA announced the revised crew for the next Dragon mission, which will launch 2 weeks later. Instead of carrying four astronauts, it'll carry two, plus flight suits for the two astronauts on board ISS that came on Starliner. And that mission will fly to ISS. It's the Freedom capsule of SpaceX. It'll dock, and it'll remain there until February 25 to complete a six-month mission for those two astronauts. And then the two astronauts that are on board ISS, Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, that came up in Starliner, they will come back using those flight suits on this Freedom capsule in February, giving them an eight-month mission. So that's where we stand right now with Starliner. It's pretty much settled how things are going to go. What's not settled is what will happen to Starliner down the future. NASA says it's committed to having it as a second vehicle. But will they require? Will Boeing be required on its own dime to fly another manned demo mission to prove it's got its systems fixed? That's the unknown right now.
Puzzle, Bob, is Soyuz available for this effort, or is that no longer done?
Soyuz is available. It can be used. We have a barter deal with the Russians, so American astronauts fly on Soyuz and Russian astronauts fly on Dragons and eventually someday Starliner. So it could be used as a secondary vehicle. It is, but NASA wants to have two American options so that they have redundancy and they don't have to rely on the Russians at all anymore.
Intuitive Machines, what's that, Bob?
This is one of the, half a dozen American companies building, and other country companies, building lunar landers for scientific research for the government and also for private enterprise. They build a lunar lander, they rent or provide payload space to NASA and other entities, private and public, and make money on it. And so Intuitive Machines has already done one mission to the moon. Its Nova Sea Resilience lander landed successfully, but then tipped over. So it didn't produce the science it was supposed to, but nonetheless, they did manage a landing. So they have other contracts for other landers, one of which is supposed to launch later this year. Actually, there's not much time left in the year. But they now have won a new contract for a new lunar lander contract from NASA for $170 million to put six NASA and European Space Agency payloads on the surface of the moon. They say it's going to land in the South Pole region of the moon, but they haven't specified a location exactly. The most most interesting payload will be the ESA's drill, which will obtain samples from as much as 3 feet down to, and then analyze them. This is similar to what actually India's Pragyan land rover did, as well as what China's sample return and landers have done as well. And it's calling for a 27 landing. We'll see if that happens, John.
Blue Origin has news. You've talked about this last week. Any change?
The one piece of information is this. They announced that they delayed the launch of New Glenn, its first launch, this orbital rocket, years behind schedule, many years behind schedule, and it should have been a competitor with SpaceX for many years, and it hasn't been. It's now set the first launch date for October 13th, carrying two small Mars rovers built by Rocket Lab for NASA. And what I've been trying to find out is how long they have. What's their launch window? It appears we now know the launch window for that New Glenn launch is only 8 days. So if they don't get off on the 13th, they only have a window of 8 more days to get the launch off, or else those two Mars landers will have to wait 2 more years for the orbital mechanics to line up for another rendezvous opportunity. And so this is important because it appears that New Glenn, they got a lot of stuff to do to get ready for that launch, a lot of stuff. As of the moment I posted this, their first stage was still not completely assembled in their facility. They still had attached the engines. So this is going to be an interesting challenge to see whether they can get it done on time, John.
And what is ABL that we now have to worry about it?
ABL is a rocket startup. Its biggest investor, I think, was Lockheed Martin. It had an attempted launch that failed 5 seconds after the takeoff. The engines cut off and the rocket crashed. They were going to attempt another launch this year, but then during a static fire test on the launch pad, a fire started which destroyed the rocket entirely. What's the story here is that they now laid off a significant number, but unstated number of staff in order to save money. They've raised almost $400 million in private investment capital, but it's very possible that the loss of two rockets, might have caused some of those investors to pull out, and they could be in trouble for that reason. It also could be that the so-called FAA streamlined regulatory rules since 21, which have only acted to delay launches everywhere, might also be a factor in why they've had to lay people off.
All right, we've got a minute. What is a solar sail? Why do they care about
it? NASA launched a solar sail deployment engineering test recently. This solar sail was to send a slightly large CubeSat, about 4 feet in size or in square footage, and it's very small. But within it, it's got a 860-foot square foot solar sail. It would deploy this gigantic solar sail from this small satellite, and that was test the deployment technology and then test solar sail technology. Solar sails would fly like sailing ships through the solar system using sunlight. And so they had some technical problems getting the solar sail deployed, but they've solved those problems, and it is now completely deployed.
Bob Zimmerman, we're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.